Welcome back to The Blank Canvas, a show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. I'm going to get right back because our guest has a lot of interesting stuff to say. So we have Keyshawn Monroe on the show with us tonight. Keyshawn has been on the scene for many, many years. First came to prominence in the late 90s, winning the Central Bank Prize over and over again. I've cited a couple of public projects he did. He's done shows at the DAF, at the National Art Gallery. Swan Song of the Flamingo was the cycle that we had in 2013, dealing with the sinking of the HMVS Flamingo. We were talking about that before the break. I know it continued with the Chamber Project. I've seen other images. I saw a very powerful one of the mace sinking into the ocean. Is that project, will it be a project that you think is part of your practice forever, or will it end? Or is it something that, like the universal human experience, just will kind of keep unfolding?
I don't know if things really end. They just take different shape.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, I never look at something as being final, mm-hmm. right? Because there are always more, there's more creativity, I think, in things that don't die. Death mm-hmm. in itself is not really final, right? It's just a change in life energy. So my projects tend to be interrelated, right? They all reference each other thematically, right? Somewhere.
Yeah. I just saw a picture on your website from the Drifter in Residence, and the color of the smoke, which you can talk about whenever you feel like it, but it almost looked like it fit with the swan song in a way, you know, the ocean and the color. So it's true that, and the ocean seems to be like a very big element as well.
Yeah, I mean, we are the ocean, we are water, you know.
Yeah.
So our existence in the Bahamas is ocean. So I don't know if I could imagine humanity without the ocean. There would be mm-hmm. no humanity. And so, yeah, the ocean is key. Like you said, I put a lot of thought into, I would not say everything that I do, because that would just be too bogus of a statement. But I try to put a lot of thought into the things that I present to the world, that I even take there for myself. And so because I do a lot of research, so by the time I make something, I manifest something visually, it's already been through many different forms of the processing machine within my head, through conversations, et cetera, et cetera. Right? So, I mean, it's, I don't know if I'm straying off the point too much, but it's just that my work never, like I said, it never really ends, because with one project, I have so much to say. I could speak about that project for years.
Yeah.
But nothing remains the same, right? So I am stimulated, or I respond to things that change around me. I am changing. We all are changing. So I don't think an idea really remains the same. And mm-hmm. so my projects, once again, are ongoing. I feel as though these are things that need to be spoken of. I have a lot of ideas, but the ones that I do commit myself to are things that I feel very strongly about, right? Things that aren't necessarily the things that I always want to work on, but I feel have to be worked on,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if you're given an idea and you don't see any aspect of that idea outside in the world, the idea was given to you for a reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
what are you going to do with it, right? And so to whom much is given, much is expected, like they say. And so you have to do something with the idea you were gifted with, right? And so that's how I see, to a large extent, what I do, right? Because some persons would argue that art has no value, right? I would like to think that to a certain degree, my persons can look through my portfolio and definitely see the value or the contribution to society, mm-hmm. right? That goes beyond just glorification of the artist.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, again, but I think that's, and it's, I think also reassuring somehow to see that's becoming more of a norm in the art community in general, that it's less, I mean, there's still the glitz side and that will exist, but I see so many more artists like dealing with social practice and that, you know, having a message or having really wanting to use art as a way to invoke positive change is something that I think is becoming more accepted and more normalized. And that's so important because I do think, as I said, I think art does have that power to change, if not to change minds, to at least open the mind a crack enough to allow to start thinking differently.
Definitely.
So where did those, yeah, go ahead.
Like you mentioned, a few of my previous more public works, like Lift Up Your Head, that was mm-hmm. on the balcony,
mm-hmm.
that destroyed with the last fire that destroyed the straw market. So that was one of the first set of public murals to really hit downtown, if my memory is correct, right? That was mm-hmm. under the I Love My Bahamas Coca-Cola campaign. Okay? Mm-hmm. So that was something that I also put a lot of time and research into, right? And persons, after a while, they began to respect the history of the place, right? They mm-hmm. began to respect art, well, public mm-hmm. art, in a different kind of way, because it was something, I wouldn't say new, but something that they weren't accustomed to seeing
mm-hmm.
Too often. Mm-hmm. In the Bahamian environment,
mm-hmm.
right? So right now I'm also working on the restoration of the sculptural works by the late Stephen G. Burroughs.
Yes.
Which is also something very public because they are at the roundabouts. I have a few other pieces that are more, I wouldn't say public, but have been seen more so in the public, right? That have been getting some attention, like the Swan Song Show. I was invited to take that show to the Senate Building, which mm-hmm. made it the first exhibition to be held at the Senate Building. Before time, they only had a centuries-old portraits of monarchs.
Oh, white people.
Yeah. And so for the first time, as a Bahamian artist, I was able to uplift, right? And on those walls, place imagery of persons who definitely made contributions to the Bahamas as we know it, the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, right? And some of them who died for us,
mm-hmm.
right? Some of them who were still living, but still dealing with the trauma,
mm-hmm.
right? And so, once again, as an artist, I felt as though it was my place to there push the boundaries and to, in my own way, be able to show people the significance in not just knowing about it, but being able to see it, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Being able to educate persons on the histories, right? Not only the histories, but the future. And so those are a few projects, but they actually took many years, right? And so these things have been going on. I don't always speak about it so much because I spend a lot of time actually working, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, my goal is to, as an artist, define for myself what an artist is, what my purpose is. Right? My goal is not to pour myself into a mold.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And where are those paintings now? Do they exist in a space where, because that's, you know, they are such important paintings. Are they somewhere that people will be able to, like, learn from them and be inspired by them? Or what, do you have a vision for it? Do you want to build a, I mean, if let's say if money was no object, what would you, how would you see those paintings surviving in the world?
If money was no object,
I mean, of course it is. That's what I mean.
The problem that we have in the Bahamas is we have a lot of buildings. Mm-hmm. We don't always have buildings. We have very, very few buildings with appropriate space. For persons who are not familiar with most of my work is at least 6 feet in yes. dimensions, right? So it's for a good reason, because I work on things that are challenging to me. It becomes boring when I know I can do something. So I'm not 6 feet tall. So I like to work on things larger than me, larger than life, right? So it's almost like a David versus Goliath situation. And it's not only in my artwork that I use that mentality, like I tackle things that I feel are important to be confronted with that same audacity, right?
Oh, that's a good word.
Yeah, and so most of my work is larger than me, because my work is larger than me, right? And so space-wise, we have a lot of colonial-style buildings, or we have even our contemporary buildings. They have big walls, but then they have windows that interrupt the free space. And so just to shorten my statement, they have been shown on a few occasions, but right now they're in storage because we can't find a place to
I have an idea that I'm throwing out. The central bank is moving, and I think that building, because that building does not have a lot of windows, and actually it's structured in such a way that inside there's lots of like partitions, but they're not load bearing. I think it would be amazing to see the old central bank building become, you know, again, a history center or a culture center or something like that, where some things could be like permanent, right?
And somewhere
downtown where people, you know, that would be my, off the top of my head, an idea to have the cycle live somewhere where schools could visit, you know, generations of Bahamians could visit, family members of the fallen, you know, seamen could visit.
It definitely deserves a space. But space is a part of the element. But like I said before, it's one thing you gotta separate, it's not what you do all the time, it's how you do it. And the history and the sincerity and the passion behind it. So those are things that have to kind of line up, because curating a show isn't just finding space, putting up works because it works, right?
Yeah.
What are all of the other elements that can be seen, right? Or can be felt?
Yeah.
How do those contribute to the essence of the show? Because the show in itself is a work of art.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so those are things, and I hold this project very dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. Because in engaging these men, right, or these persons, these individuals, they shared with me very, very, very tender moments, right? And because they trusted me, right?
Yeah.
And that's something that has been happening over the years. People have trusted me with certain things. Just as you would trust, I would say, like a priest, right? Or anyone in the church, for example, right?
Yeah.
Because like
I
said, for me, it's a spiritual thing. And I have to protect that to a certain degree.
No, of course.
I have to respect what it is that they shared with me. And I know that they would want certain things done. I know that they would not want certain things done.
Yes, of course.
So... I am like the custodian of that.
Yeah, and while we've got the time, I'm just going to say the names of the men who lost their lives, which were Abel Seaman, Frederick Starup, Marine Seaman Austin Rudolph Smith, Marine Seaman David Allison Tucker, and Marine Seaman Edward Arnold Williams. But as you've referred to, I don't know the names of all the men who still live with that, right? Who were there and who lost their colleagues. And I can imagine, you know, that's a really hard thing to face every year.
Definitely.
So I can understand. And we're hoping that the anniversary is coming up soon. It's May 10th. We're hoping the incident happened in 1980, so it will be, 41 years. The catalog of the work will come out. We've been working on that for some time, so we're keeping our fingers crossed. And, you know, more plans. So we're hoping for that. And what the Stephen Burrows, we don't have too much time left, but how did that project come about, caring? Because that was always something I drove by all those artworks and I was like, why isn't anybody taking care of them? How did you come to that project to restore and care for those objects that are kind of so important for us all in our memory of growing up here? They were really kind of some of the first Bahamian public art that we had.
Yeah, well, definitely they are sculptures that were pretty much lack maintenance over the years, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think it was something that most persons who were familiar with what they were before really wanted to see brought back to some sort of glory, right? And so it was an effort by the family, the Burrows family, as well as Beaches and Parks through Shenandoah and Cartwright, right? So I was identified as an artist. They trusted me with the task of bringing them back, so to speak. And it wasn't an easy task, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's not just painting.
Right. No, I mean, I saw you in like full body gear. I mean, it almost looked like you were in a hazmat suit and you're out there in the elements and you're having to, it was a physical endeavor.
Yeah. I would say 75% of it was structural, like me taking off stuff and, you know, building back a body. And honestly, by the time I got to the actual paint, I was really tired. That's how much work it was before. And it was usually 85, 95 degrees, you know. Yeah. And you were in a full hazmat suit, mask.
And you know what just occurred to me, Keyshawn? Literally, and now we don't have too much time, so I'm going to have you back on the show. I think about your work. There's almost like, I don't want to use the word performance because I don't think you're doing it as like, but there's a physical element to a lot of your work and the ocean work and the traveling and, you know, that's underpinning the painting part, right? That there's a very physical aspect and that you said you were an athlete in your youth. It's connecting a lot of dots to me that in itself is part of the work, right? Is your body and your, it's not only your soul, it's really your body that is being pushed to certain limits with your work.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a ritual of
ritual.
Me trying, right? Like me not just being active for being active sake, but me making the actual movements, not talking about it, not writing about it, or not only writing about it, but actually taking the steps, literally, right? Sweating, sometimes dripping blood, dehydrated.
I think the word ritual, you nailed it. I think it's a much better word than performance, because performance is like you're doing it for people to see, whereas a ritual is like I think that is absolutely it. It's like there's an element of ritual in your work that underpins it and makes it, gives it the gravitas that is more than just, you know, a nice painting that you want to hang on your wall. I think you nailed it. Well, Keyshawn, unbelievably, we've come to the end of our hour. It always goes very fast. But I want to thank you for coming on the show and for sharing your practice with the wider public. I want to thank you for the work you're doing to preserve Bahamian art, to push the boundaries of what we expect from art and artists, and just to keep doing that because it's important work, and to thank you for doing that work.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, my pleasure. So that was Kishan Monroe. I want to remind everybody, you can go back and listen to the show again. Once it's up on our website, www.nagb.org.bs, and look out for future projects from Kishan, and hopefully the catalog coming out, hopefully in May of this year. We'll see and we'll let you know. So stay tuned. And you can go to Kishan's website as well, if you'd like to learn more about his practice, which is, I had it up here and now I don't, Kishan-Monroe.com. So please do that. And again, just get out there and support your artists and your art community, because it's important. So again, thank you, Kishan. Thank you to everybody listening. This has been The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. You've been listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great night.